Jeanette Beckman is a photographer. She was born in London and started there shooting the punk and mod bands at the time. Then she moved to New York City and has captured some of the biggest names in hip-hop. Fab Five Freddy, Run DMC, LL Cool J, A Tribe Called Quest, Salt and Pepper, Busta Rhymes, just to name a few. But we'll start where she did, on the streets of England.
This is a mob world. This is the mob world. What kind of fool do you think I am? You think I know nothing of the modern world? All my life it's been the same. I've learned to live by hit and beat. It's my inspiration drive.
That's The Jam, The Modern World. Welcome to the show. This is Kaz Tran, and it is my great pleasure to be with you on The Music Show. And I'm joined now by photographer Jeanette Beckman, who was shooting all of these wonderful pictures for Melody Maker and The Face magazine. Tell us, Jeanette Beckman, about those fascinating early days as a young photographer, being witness to a major social, cultural and musical upheaval that was punk in the mid-70s in the UK.
Yeah, well, lucky for me, I was in art school in London. I grew up in London, and I was pretty rebellious, to be honest. And I came out, and the punk thing was just starting. So, you know, being fascinated and suddenly seeing all these crazy people walking down the street with wild haircuts and a lot of makeup and all sorts of amazing outfits, I just got my camera out and started taking pictures, and it was pretty amazing. The first photo I ever took, I walked into a weekly music magazine called Sounds with my portfolio. And actually, I didn't have any music pictures in there whatsoever. But I met this woman, Vivian Goldman. She liked me and she liked my pictures. So she was like, oh, what are you doing tonight? You could go and photograph Susie and the Banshees at the Roundhouse. So I said, okay. And I left and I was thinking, oh, blimey, I don't know how to, you know, I've never photographed a live concert in my life. But I went and did it. I figured it out and ran back to my little dark room afterwards and developed the film, made the prints, turned up the next day, you know, with these 8x10 prints. And she was like, oh, these are great. And then she gave me another job. And that's kind of how I got started. It was pretty amazing.
Part of the craft and skill set of being a photographer is being able to perceive and capture something within that moment and you know, photograph it, obviously. When punk was emerging in the mid-70s, did you see something that was special, something that was sparking, that would be viewed as important now in music?
You know what it was? Growing up in London and in England, we had the class system there. I live in New York now. It's a different type of thing. But, you know, we had the class system and Queen and Country. And then when punk started, you know, there was a lot of unemployment and pretty much people didn't have money. And I was living in some kind of squat and buying my clothes in jumble sales. And, you know, I was an art student. And suddenly all these punks were coming out and talking about what was going on. And I saw this upheaval that was taking place right in front of my eyes. And it basically changed the way British society was.
Kaz Tran with you on The Music Show. We're speaking right now to British-born New York-based photographer Jeanette Beckman, who is speaking to us on a line from New York City, where you're based right now. And talking about New York, your interest turned to the New York neighbourhoods that birthed hip-hop in the early 80s as well. Can you tell us about how that interest arrived and then what you saw when you went to the US, Jeanette?
I was working at Melody Maker, which was another weekly music paper, and I was the second photographer. The first photographer was this guy, Tommy Sheehan, who loved rock. So any trip to photograph Led Zeppelin in Texas, that was his thing. And they were like, oh, Jeanette, you can photograph these punks and listen, you know, we'd have these weekly meetings. And I was sort of getting the things he didn't want to do, but that suited me perfectly because those were the things I did want to do. And in 1982, the first ever hip-hop review came to London. And we didn't know anything about hip-hop. I actually had photographed Grandmaster Flash before that, but that was it. We really didn't know anything. And I put my hand up in the meeting and said, I want to go and shoot this. I didn't know what it was. And I went to the hotel where these people were staying and just started taking pictures because there were all these people there that looked so different from the punk people that I'd been used to. They had this amazing kind of energy. They were wearing different types of clothing, and I just was photographing everybody. And then I went to the concert at night and took a lot of pictures. It really was a mind-blowing experience because on the stage at night were rappers, graffiti artists, break dancers, DJs, all at the same time on a stage, and I'd never seen anything like it. And coincidentally, I was going to New York to visit a friend a couple of months later, and I basically went there and never came back. And that's what happened. And I have to say, that first concert that I photographed in London and those portraits I did in the hotel turned out to be some of the most iconic people in the world of hip hop, such as graffiti artists Futura, Dondi, Fab Five Freddy, Afrika Bambaataa, the Rocksteady Crew. I mean, there were so many, and I just didn't know who they were. I was just running around kind of going, you look amazing, I have to take pictures.
And what about the sound of the music, Jeanette? Was it as exciting as, you know, the images that you were seeing and all the activity that was going on around you?
It was amazing, and I didn't really know what it was. I mean, you've got DJs who are spinning, and then you've got people who are rapping over the top of it. And the music was like totally exciting. And when I arrived in New York that Christmas, you know, I got off the train on West 4th Street, you know, and there's a kid with a boombox like right there. He's rapping along to some song that's playing, and there were people breakdancing on the street. And I'm like, this is just incredible. It had this amazing upbeat sensibility to it. It was very different from punk. Yeah, the music was amazing. Just the idea of mixing, taking tunes and mixing them and rapping on top of them. Like Grandmaster Flash, who had that song, The Message.
Yes.
You know, that's a very famous song that I think it came out like 1982. But when I arrived in New York, it was winter. And it says, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. And it talks about rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with a baseball bat. I was living in what is now Tribeca, but then it was just kind of, you know, empty warehouses and dark alleys. And there really were junkies in an alley with a baseball bat. You know, people I knew were getting mugged on the regular. And then I moved to the Lower East Side, and it was a similar thing. There were a lot of drugs. But it was kind of amazing at the same time, I have to say. It didn't seem dangerous to me, but that's probably because I didn't really know how dangerous it probably was.
Jeanette, I wanted to ask you also about Blondie. I mean, the role of Deborah Harry incorporating some rap into the song Rapture, she was referencing right. Grandmaster Flash as well. She was very pivotal to hip-hop becoming more of the mainstream. Did you ever cross paths with Blondie and capture them as well?
Well, I actually took a picture of Deborah Harry when she was Anne Chris Stein when they were in London for Melody Maker, like I think 1981. And I have this picture of her. She's just it's a very simple picture. She's sitting in a window and she looks very, very beautiful, just very kind of natural, you know, not over made up. I'd gone to her hotel early in the morning and, you know, she's just sitting there in the window kind of looking at me. And I actually love this picture. And I was at a gala about 2 months ago, and she was sitting at my table, and I was like, oh, by the way, you know, I took this picture of you, and I actually have a picture of it on one of my promo cards. And she was like, oh yeah, I remember this, that was a really great wig I had. And I was like, oh well. So funny, that's what you remember about it. But I guess it, I mean, this is a good wig. I didn't even know it was a wig. I thought it was her real hair, but whatever. But she was great, and that song was very instrumental in bringing, you know, there's actually this British woman called Cool Lady Blue who was very instrumental in bringing hip hop, you know, from the Bronx downtown to the Roxy. She started all the nights at the Roxy, and she had, you know, all these breakdance competitions and rappers and clubs going. And yeah, she was really great. You know, and then Run DMC did that collaboration with Aerosmith that then just blew the whole thing open, basically. And white kids started really listening to rap.
They totally did. Punk has morphed into hardcore, Riot Girl and New Wave of the 80s and a whole post-punk revival in the 2000s. Hip-hop is the dominant music genre in the US. Could you have anticipated this at the time when you were photographing these huge musical explosions that the marginalized would now become the mainstream?
Honestly, no. And the thing was, all of this was happening before the internet and before computers and before, you know, cell phones and phones. So they were like these small movements in a way. I mean, punk for me was going on in all the little towns in England, but primarily in London where I was. And you know, same thing with rap. When I came here, it was coming out of the Bronx and it was a small group of people that was listening to it. And I think these genres had time to marinate and really become something amazing, but we had no idea that they were going to be a worldwide phenomenon, either of them. We really, you know, we were just in it, loving it. And it was, in a way, it was exciting because you were part of something that was small and you knew people, you know, you would bump into people or you knew people at record companies. When I came here specifically, actually, I should say this, I thought when I came here, because I'd already done two Police album covers, and you know, I'd photographed The Clash and all of these famous punk people, I thought I would go around all the big record companies like CBS and Warner Brothers and get work photographing bands. And what happened was that I'd walk in to these art directors and they'd look at my stuff and they'd go, you know, we can't give you any work. Your work is really too raw. And we have everything airbrushed back in the day, you know, before Photoshop. And I was like, okay. So luckily for me, the British music magazines were still hiring me. They knew I was in New York. So they would commission me going, oh, we just heard this new group, Salt and Pepper. Can you go out and photograph them? And I photographed them before they even had a record out. But it was a commission from England that started my whole relationship with Salt and Pepper. And I started working for all these little hip-hop labels. I mean, Def Jam, when I took that picture of LL Cool J, was a small label. So if you can imagine that. So it was a very niche, small thing.
Wow. Your career very much revolving around being in the right place at the right time, Jeanette Beckman.
Totally. And, you know, being a little obsessive about photographing things that I love.
Well, we might go out with a Salt and Pepper track. Jeanette Beckman has been with us on The Music Show. Thank you so much for telling us all these wonderful stories and for your fantastic work, of course, documenting these very important musical movements and communities around them. It's kept their legacy alive for many more generations to enjoy, Jeanette.
You're very, very welcome. Yo, 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 baby pop, get you. Come here, give me a kiss. Better make it fast or else I'm gonna get pissed. Can't you hear the music pumping hard like I wish you would? Now push it. Push it good. Push it real good. Push it. Boy, you really got me going. You got me going.
the very first all-female rap group, Salt and Pepper, coming out at a time when women in the genre were very scarce and objectified. They've survived and thrived in the game and have sold over 15 million records worldwide, making them one of the best-selling rap acts of all time. That song was nominated for a Grammy and was also performed at Nelson Mandela's 70th birthday celebrations. And head to the music show's website to see some of the pictures Jeanette took, including a gorgeous one of Deborah Harry. And you'll find a link to her website to see even more.